We really want to give thanks to God for this morning and the opportunity again to share the Word of God with you. This morning, I'm sharing with you freedom to serve. Can you see that the sermon has already been preached from Pretoria? I'm so excited about that. God is in this place. My heart is so thrilled. So, freedom to serve and bear each other's burden. And if you have your Bibles, won't you open to Galatians? Yeah, Galatians chapter 6 and from verse 1 to 10 as they continue to prepare. Galatians 6, 1 to 10. Brothers and sisters, of course, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. And that is something that I've underlined in my Bible. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one tests his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Verse 5, which I've underlined again. For each one will bear his own load. So we see, bear each other's load, but carry your own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For if one sows in his own flesh, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Let us not, and I've underlined this 9 and 10, let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Shall we pray? Father God, we want to give you thanks that already through the work that was done in Pretoria, you are speaking to us about why you called us. And I pray, my God, that your presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, will be here with us to minister to each one of us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, as we look into Freedom in the Spirit series, we've come to this last chapter that I am preaching on. I know the others will come later, but the one that I'm looking at this morning is the last chapter. And remember, as we said, and other preachers have said already, here the church in Galatia is going back from the grace and the gospel they received into the law. They were going back. So Paul is writing to address this, that do not be foolish in chapter 3. Do not be foolish. The very first time I read this in the Bible, I wasn't reading the Bible. I thought, there's something wrong. But it's there. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? And I think Pastor Musala told us about that. So Paul is trying to make them aware that that's not, you don't need to be in the law. You need to go back to the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that is going to help you reach out. It's going to make you who God wants you to be in life. And so in doing this, by the time he gets to chapter 5, he is telling them now that you have the Spirit in you. You are able to speak in tongues. You have received, I think Craig preached to us about Pastor Musala receiving the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and all that. Now that the Spirit is leading you, you are liberated. You have freedom in Christ. And so, I want you to know that it's not just the enjoyment of being in the Spirit Hallelujah. And seeing the power and the miracles of God. That's something we should be seeing daily. But I want you to know that it's about time, as the Spirit of God lives in you, you begin to walk in the Spirit. Be at work with God in the Spirit. And to a point that the Spirit is working in you so much so that even when, verse 1, one of you goes astray and do wrong things, by the power of the Spirit, you are able to draw this person back to the Lord. These days we don't see. Some churches are growing small and small. People are going. But where is the Spirit to help us draw people back to the Lord? And so verse 1 says, if someone sins, you who are spiritual, because the Spirit is in you, draw near to them. And in gentleness, with the Spirit of gentleness, bring them to the Lord. And so, as we discuss this thing this morning, I want us to remember that God, through His Spirit, has given us freedom to serve one another and freedom to serve those who do not know the Lord, as the people, our own people, went to Pretoria to do. So, in terms of outline, there are three things I just want us quickly look at. The first one is the law of Christ. Because chapter 2 says, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Number 2, that we bear each other's burden. We need to bear each other's burden. And the third one is that the law of Christ shows itself in generosity. Amen. And so let me begin with the first point of the law of Christ. Paul says in verse 2, bear one another's burden so as to fulfill the law of Christ. And as you know, the church of Galatia, the Galatian church, started in the Spirit, but now they were moving to the Mosaic law. Mosaic law that comprises of not just the Ten Commandments, but other rituals and other things. In fact, some people say that the Ten Commandments, if you look at the whole Mosaic law, is only 1%. So there are so many things in there that binds people. What normally happens is that the more you want to get into the law, the more angrier you become because you realize you can't do it. And because of that, you even become angry seeing others probably doing something better than yourself, and there's competition and all that. So it brings rife even in assemblies and all that. So Paul is saying you need to move into the Spirit. Because when the Spirit comes, it is the Spirit, according to chapter 5, verse 16, he says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If the Spirit is not there, because the Spirit is in you, you are made of flesh. Flesh and blood. Flesh desires so many things. But when the Spirit of God is in you, and that's why when you become a Christian, you begin to sing, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Great change since I've become born again. Because the Spirit of God comes into you and begins to guide you. And so the more you move away from the Spirit, you begin to go into the things of the flesh. And so Galatians continue to say, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the things like this. You can go on and on and on. And we all know that we are part of this. It's part of our lives. And until the Spirit of God is leading us, we draw towards that. But if the Spirit of God is leading us, we move away and we see the things of the Spirit. When that happens, we don't gratify the flesh. Rather, we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And he said all these things even in chapter 5. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is life, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there are no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let's all walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. And so Paul is telling us that the law will not help us. The law will make us fight one another and others. So the church needed to move. And so he is saying and drawing their attention that Christ has done one thing. If anything at all, Christ was interested in the law, there's only one. And when you read in Matthew chapter 22, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus trying to trick him after they saw that the Sadducees had been defeated and been silenced about their arguments. And so in verse 34 of Matthew 22, he says, but when the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest, the great and first command. And then the second is that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend on all the law, and not only the law, and the prophets. And so this is the law of Christ. Love. Because he is love. And so when he says, bear one another's burden so that we could fulfill the law of Christ, he is talking about love for God. Remember the golden rule? Do unto others what you want others to do to you. And so when you love your neighbor, you do to them the very things that you want them to do to you. And so Romans chapter 13, when Paul was talking about this law of God, he says, owe no one anything. If you're a child of God, don't owe anybody anything except love to each other. For the love, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's the law of Christ. Love for one another. And remember here, he's talking about every Christian. He's not talking about the rich man who has got money or the one who can run faster. All of us, if you're a child of God, you need to have love for one another. No matter where you come from, no matter your race, no matter your color, we have to love one another. There is no selective love. Sometimes as human beings, we only want to love if I can gain something there. What is in need for me? What is in here for me? So you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And so when we talk of the law of Christ, we're talking about love for one another. And so this morning, I'm just reminding us, it's not a new law. It's something that God puts in us. When his Spirit comes to live in us, as we receive Christ, the very first fruit that comes is love. And that's why even Paul in Romans 13 devoted the whole chapter to love. People, we are living in a nation where love is gone. And because of that, we learn to hate right from the beginning. Even families, within families. We don't like that one because you gave this one to that one, you didn't give me and this. There's division amongst us. And so Paul this morning through the book of Galatians is reminding us we need to love one another. We need to love one another. There are some of us, we don't like people, not because they've done anything to us, but what we have been told about them. By our friends, by our family members. Or just because of who they are and how God made them. They didn't come to this world with a big tummy. probably that's not a good example. But there are certain things, the color we have, nobody came with it. God gave it to us. We should enjoy it with one another and love one another. And I'm glad in Cincinnati that you are saying you spent time with Afrikaners and how you felt like I knew these people forever. That's how it should be. That's how it should be, people. That's how it should be. These days we don't even talk about these things, but love. Love penetrates through all things and make all things possible. And so, that's the law of Christ. It's about love. We can't run away from it. But my second point is that if the law of Christ, we understand it, then to fulfill it, we need to bear each other's burden. People of God, there's no one who has got no burden. Each one of us. We have different form of burdens, but each one has got a burden. Some people, their burden is their richness. How God has blessed them. The money they have got becomes a burden. Because at night, they can't sleep. Some people say, money can buy a good bed. Maybe the king size bed, but it can never buy sleep. So somebody has got that, but they can't sleep. It's a burden. Some of us, God has given us beautiful wives and handsome husbands. And it's a burden. It's a burden. The way this guy snores, I can't bear it. What can happen? It's a burden. Each one of us has got burden. And we need to bear one another. We need to pray about snoring. We need to pray about it. God can do it. Somebody told me, I was chatting with a young lady who got married, and she says, hey, I can't handle this. Hey, it's like a motorbike. That is one. So what she did was she went onto the internet. Somebody said, look, go to this website and check. She says, you know, check how, when does your husband snore? Not knowing when it's up like that. So the website provided how positions. And she did it and snoring gone. We need to bear one another. By suggesting that website and things working, we are happy. Simple things need to happen. We need to be there for one another. When someone is in trouble, you are there with them. You are bearing them. And helping people out of their situation. And I think, if ever we needed to bear one another, is today. It's this time that we are in. Especially with what they are calling the fourth industrial revolution, where life is slowly becoming out of fellowship. Life is about I, me, mine, myself, and selfie. That's what is happening now. That's all. It's concentrating on ourselves. Somebody sent me this, and it was a video with a poem, and I've transcribed it. It says, we live in strange times. We live in strange times. We live in interesting and funny times. We live in a world where we see humans, but not humanity. We live in times where the rich have more rooms than children, and the poor have more children than rooms. We live in times where smartphones bring you closer to those who are far and distance you from those who are near you. That's the world we are living in. We live in times where we open Facebook more than the Holy Book. We live in times where a single mother looks after 10 children, but 10 children cannot look after a single mother. We live in times where the rich walks miles just to digest food, where the poor walks miles just to get food. We live in times where we can't initiate conversation with the one we stay with, yet we chat around the world. We live in times where women are paid to be naked, whilst others have no clothes to cover their nakedness. We live in times where our contact list is so long, but our relationships are poor. We live in times where our possessions are more, but our appreciations less. We live in times where we know how to earn good living, but somehow we forget to live good. And we live in times where many know the price of everything, but not value anything. Indeed, we live in strange times. We need to bear one another these times much more than anything. I was reading a commentary on this bearing one another by Dr. Michael Eaton, one who has been with us and passed away about 2 years ago. He says, we have a responsibility towards other people. And we begin with those who are nearest to us. Charity begins at home. Of course, it is often easier to be generous to people who are 1,000 miles away than it is to be sweet to those who share our homes and our offices. It is to be sweet to those who, we are to see what is troubling others and lift the weight from them as much as we can. Jesus carried our sins as if they were his own. He carried on the cross all the consequences of our sins, and we need to do something similar. We feel for what others feel. We intercede for them as if we were praying for ourselves. And we are generous to them financially as God leads us. This is the kind of law that we are under. It's not about the Mosaic law. It's about the law of Christ, which is love. And so, brothers and sisters, we have something to offer. No matter where you stand, no matter what you have or you don't have. You know, sometimes if one is poor, he's always blaming. Always blaming. They didn't give me. But sometimes if you are not careful, you have so much to give. Your smile. Sometimes some people, when you see them, you want to hug them because the way they smile at you, you want to see their face. Smile can heal somebody. And yet, we come gloomy because he didn't look at me, he didn't do this, and he didn't do that. As people of God, we have everything to share. I've always said, and at our home, we have a number of fruits. We have avos. In fact, we brought some this morning. We have avos, we have lemons, we have guavas. And the worst for me is the guavas. When they come, the monkeys just come, they just pick it, bite a little bit. I don't like that one. And it's all over. So I said, why do we allow all this to go waste? Let's just get them and bring them for people who want to eat them. Maybe you have a similar something small in your house that is going wasted. Somebody likes it. How many of us eat and we throw food away? Throw food away and people go hungry. Why don't you just take a little bit, not the mountain type, but just a little bit. And say, the rest, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to pack it and give it to someone. This is practical way we have to live. Bear one another's problem. And in so, fulfilling the law of Christ. Let me just go to my third point. And go in details in terms of what. Just only looking at. I say the law of Christ shows itself in generosity. And that's what he's talking about here. In terms of generosity. First point that I'm saying under this is that generosity shows the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, when we are saved, we give glory to God. And most of us, we do say that, no, it's not by work. Yes, yeah, it's not the way. It's true. Because Ephesians chapter 2 says in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." If we were to save ourselves, we couldn't for a second. It's just the grace. Sometimes I wonder, why is it that I am saved? My brothers are not saved. I've tried. I've shared the gospel, but they don't want to hear it. You are saved. It's just by grace. It's not just because you raise up your hand. Sometimes we made a mistake. God, we did you good. I just raised up my hand and came forward. No. He knew you. Somebody says that when you go to heaven, as you are entering, you see something written, "Whosoever will may come." So you say, "I am willing, I got in." So when you go in and you look back, you see you were saved right from the beginning of creation. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if you are getting it. So you think, "Whosoever will, I will," and you came. But God said, "Now you are here. I saved you long before the creation. When I was creating this world, I knew you." That is the grace of God. So it's not by chance. God loves you so much. And so that's why we are saved. It's a gift that God has given us. It's not as a result of works. And if some of us, we are still thinking, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that so that you'll be saved." No. We've lost it. We have been saved by grace so that we cannot boast. But then verse 10 is what is important. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so even as we sit here, God has created something that he wants to work with you in it. And so, people of God, as you went to Pretoria, you think it was a program that was, no, God was waiting for you, that you come, and he works with you. And so, my sister, when you were tired, lying there, God says, "I'm here for you. You make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it," and encouraging you. And that's what God is doing for us. So, we have been saved to do some work for the Lord. And most of the time, we just enjoy the presence. It's good to enjoy the presence of God, especially on Wednesday, when you come and the power of God is here. You feel like, "Hey, I want to be here forever." But we need to go forward. We need to practice generosity as children of God. Yes, we could do some work and be paid. I believe that as a child of God, whatever work you have, whatever work you are involved in, God put you there. Forget about the salary. It's just a bonus. But you are there to do more than what you have been prescribed to do. 1, 2, 3. I remember we were working with one guy. Even we were going to the same church here. And then he would wait. By 3:30, he's waiting, drumming, waiting for 4. Then 3 minutes to time, he says, home time. That's not it. You don't sit waiting for home time. Do your best. Do your best as if you are doing it for the Lord. Some of us, we don't have jobs because we are lazy. You employ someone and the South African law supports you. All I want is just get in. You can't get me out. And so we are there. We are not doing what God has called us to do. Let me tell you, if we do what God has called us to do and do the work we are doing and do it well, you will be more blessed than anybody. Some people have gone through the ranks. You ask, but you came yesterday. How come you went there? It's because you are doing what God has called you to do. People, let's take our work seriously and be generous in our work. And God will bless us. God will bless us. God will definitely bless us. And where we lack wisdom, maybe where we are weak, let's call God and say, "God, I want to do this job, but I'm not able to do it the way we do. Would you help me?" God will come through and help you so that we glorify God in everything that we are doing. And when you do this, when you are working and be generous with God, his presence is going to be with you and you will enjoy him. You know, you will reap. He says, if we don't give up. In the way he put it in, let me read it in verse 1. He says, "Let not get weary of doing good." He says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Some of us, we give up so easily. Sometimes we've been there. God is just about to come and say, forget it. I'm tired. I'm gone. Let's stick to it. And God will come through. Let's be convinced of God telling you, my child, it's enough. You've been here. I'm moving you to another place. Then we know it's going to happen. People, let's encourage one another. And definitely, as you do this, you know, we are able to draw near to our God. You know, he says, and he was telling us that we should know how we sow. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. If we sow in the flesh, as I was reading in chapter 5, verse 19, all those things that were being mentioned, the works of the flesh. The moment you sow, you will reap corruption. You know what happens in that? Your relationship with God begins to break. You can't enjoy the presence. You can come to church, but you don't feel good. You don't feel good. Why? Because your relationship with God is not working well. But if we do his will and live by the Spirit, we will enjoy. The fruit of the Spirit will work in our lives. And you know what he says? You will reap eternal life. That means you begin to feel how eternal life is. Some people call it heaven on earth. You begin to taste something. I remember very well when I became a Christian and I decided I'm going to organize a day of prayer and fasting for the, I was in a Presbyterian church. There were a lot of go-go's and gagas. So I said, I'm going to organize a day where we do Bible study and we pray. Now, I was surprised. There was this old lady who came. And as we sat and we looked into the Word of God and we were praying, and it was about getting to 6 o'clock. So we were saying, we now have to break our fast and go. He says, no, let's stay here more. Let's stay here. Because when I go home, the grandchildren are going to give me problems. And let's stay here a bit more. And my mind went back to the transfiguration. You know, when you are in the presence of God and you are enjoying the presence, you want to be there forever. Peter said, Jesus, I want to make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He forgot about himself. People of God, as we go, we grow. If we don't grow weary, and as we grow in the things of God, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. We will do things that will amaze us. And he will help us. And so let's not be weary of doing good, but let's just stick on a little bit. Let's get into the Lord. And he's going to bless us. The heavenly blessing will come. But I assure you, even here on earth, he will bless us. Forget about your salary. It's nothing. There are other blessings that will come. If God were to open our eyes to see the kind of blessing we see, we experience, sometimes we only want to see the physical. But the kind of sickness, an accident that you were supposed to be involved in, that God averted it, if God were to open your eyes, you'd be saying, our God is always there for us. And as we draw near to him, we begin to feel him. We begin to see his presence. We begin to love him more in every area of our work. I just want to also mention that he says generosity demands, the law of Christ demands generosity towards the teachers and pastors. And that's very, very important. It's just straightforward. When someone teaches you, even in the word, we need to offer. It's not only financially. Financially, we need to do that. But those who can pray, we need to pray for them. Encouragement. Sometimes this work of leading churches is so tiresome sometimes. And you can see the pastor needs encouragement. Are we ready to do that? And that's what he's talking about. We need to do that. Even Paul, in 1 Timothy, he told Timothy in chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders who rule well consider worthy the double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says you should not muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. Brothers and sisters, we need to have that in mind. That we have people who labor amongst us in different ways. And we need to be generous. We need to be generous to them. Just one day they say, look, I'm saving money. I don't have enough money, but I'm saving 300 rand. I want to take that teacher of mine, that pastor of mine, for supper, just once in the whole year, it will be a blessing. These are some things that we can do. But to finish, generosity is to all people, especially those who are in the household of God. Generosity. You see, it's part of salvation. When you are saved, you become generous. God puts a generous heart, spirit within your heart. The day Zacchaeus of all people, the day he got saved, the Bible says in Luke 19, today salvation has come into this house. And immediately he says, if I've cheated anyone, I will pay. I will pay. And that's what he did. And so God expects us that we do something. One of the things that have touched me, because it's in my own life, is James chapter 1 and verse 27. We need to help the poor people, but he says here, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I was 6 years when my mom passed away, and I was tossed from pillar to post because the families, in my village, there was no orphanage where they can put you. And in our culture, you are not an orphan anyway, but you can see, you go there, and especially getting to be a teenage, I was very naughty because I was intelligent. They didn't understand me. Because they will get a radio, and I'm seeing there's somebody inside this radio that is talking. I want to see, and I'll open the radio and mess it up. And you can see what will happen to you. So nobody would want to stay with me. I will move from here to here, to a point that we could go into the shebeens, and when people are smoking and they throw down, the friends will say, no, let's pick them. We pick them. And we also row, and we also learning how to smoke. So I could see that. But there's something that really I will never forget. There was an old lady, because I was staying with my grandmother. And my uncles will fight me all the time. And this old lady will come and say, Benson, come here, come here. And she will sit me down and start reading the Bible and start praying with me and say, are you hungry? I will give you food. This old lady, who was a Christian, softened my heart. And I believe that there was a seed that she sowed that saved me. People of God, we have today, we don't just have orphans. We have fatherlessness. We have motherlessness. I love watching Kumbule Kaya. This is where, I don't know the meaning of it, but it's like some people who have been lost forever and they reunite. You can see these children saying, I have suffered. Daddy, why did you do that? Why did you run away? My life, I've suffered. There's pain in my heart. Mom, why did you do that? Today, there are so many people, they are not orphans, their parents are alive, but they don't know them. And they are facing problems. Some may be sitting in this church. What are we doing with them? It's about time. That's the work I do. I work with orphans and vulnerable children. People who are HIV positive. And somebody tells you, I wish somebody told me. Nobody could tell me that having sex and these things could bring sickness. I didn't know. Now hear me. People, there's something we can do. And as I conclude, there's ministry. The church has got ministry to reach out to the world and to one another. And when Rob was talking, I heard about, we are going to African Enterprise. If you don't have money, we can support. There's a way. We need to be part of it. I can say, yes, there are some people in this church. We work with HIV. When they go to buy tampons or pads for their daughters, they buy more and bring some and say, Benson and your team, can you take this to the people out there? That's a service. That's a service. There's something you can do. There are so many ministries in the church that you can be part of. The question I'm asking you is, you're enjoying the worship and everything, and then you go home. You must go to the community. You must do something that can help in the work that God has given us here. We've been praying as trustees of Community Care Project. Community Care Project is a CCP work. I'm the elder responsible for it. We've been working for years. I'm telling you, many people have been saved through this ministry. And in my heart, I always say, I will not see it die. At one point, if it wasn't people like Avro and the others, it would have died. But God took it, because many people have been saved through this ministry, and we are working. Maybe there's something you can do. We are thinking of getting proper trustees who have got something to offer. people who are expertise in law, so that when we are doing something wrong and they know the law will catch up, they say, hey, hey, you can't go there. It's against the law. Sometimes you don't know that what you are doing is against the law. You think you are enjoying a right, and so you are doing 165. Hey, the law will catch you. Somebody, yeah, somebody will be able to say, can you, so when the way you pass, I think you have to be careful. You know, you know, we need people in different areas who can help us. Education, people in finance, people in management, business, HR, security, technology, those who even are involved in HIV work. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's something that God wants to do in this church. We used to handle the whole Project Gateway, going out and meeting people in different needs. As I'm closing, I want to find out from you, what are you doing of all that you have learned from the Lord?